Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You are back on, well, you're on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTIQA+. We can't miss letters, can we, boys?
No. There's only one alphabet.
There's only
one English one.
Is there? but we have some very, very special guests in the studio. VidCon is coming up this week, or it's passed already. Depends what show you're listening to this on. Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
It depends on which timeline you've chosen.
Which, yeah, or maybe you're listening to this like way in the future, and this has already happened, and you're looking at all the videos of all of the conferences all the and everything.
Stuff, everything.
Very exciting. We've got two featured creators. I think very excited. Aussie based. We love that. Representing us at VidCon in Melbourne. We've got AJ Clementine and Megan Dykman. Welcome.
Woo-woo. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Okay, personally, being the millennial I am, YouTube has been a huge, huge part of growing up and just experience online life and culture. Can you guys relate? When did you tell me about when you first discovered YouTube, started watching it, that kind of stuff?
Well, like I discovered it in high school. It's probably like around 14, like 15, actually probably like 14. Uh-huh. And I just remember it being somewhere where it was like lots of weird like animal videos and like cat videos and like lots of like memes back then.
The classics.
Yeah. But then I discovered like the community channel and Shane Dawson. And from that moment, I just realized there was like creators on there and they're making these like contents, like little music videos. And like from there, I feel like it just kind of changed and like people started to jump on and they realized that they could like create content themselves and anyone could really have a show of their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first person I watched was Jenna Marbles. So that's me done. yeah, and I'm very much the same. Like the first couple of things I saw was just like memes and funny animal videos and stuff. And it's completely changed now. People put their whole lives on there. But yeah, that was definitely the beginning for me. Yeah.
Did you ever feel that you could make a career out of it? Like, do you think that there was ever like that when you first started watching YouTube? Like, yeah, you can make a living out of this. I can make a career here.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think that people did that for a living. I didn't put much thought into it. And obviously maybe back then they didn't really. They kind of just did it for fun. And now it's like people's full-time jobs, which is insane. So, yeah.
Now, you guys are very interesting, amazing letters of our alphabet. AJ's dear, formerly open, trans YouTuber. What has, and I've looked on your channel, I've been on it quite a bit. You've been really open about your journey from the beginning. What's possessed you to make your life, typically really hard for a lot of trans people, so public and open for everyone to see?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was in high school when I was kind of making videos, and it was very, like, surface level. I didn't really talk about myself or like anything really sharing of like what I was going through, but I kind of realized that there wasn't really anybody else talking about trans related things, so I kind of like took some time to build up the confidence in order to be like, hey, like this is a space that is needed. There isn't really any representation or visibility that's like outside of America being really portrayed
when
it comes to trans people. And like, I felt like it was just time to just show someone, I think it was just time to show a different story and like whether it was going to like mean anything to anybody, I just thought like, why not? And, obviously it was kind of like overwhelming in the sense of sharing so much public things. But once I started seeing that it was helping people come to terms with who they are, I kind of realized that that's something that I needed as well. And if I did have that, like, good representation and visibility, then I would have understood that I was trans earlier on. It would have saved me so much more, like, heartache and all that kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that just came, like, second nature. And I just was like, you know what, like, if I can do it and I could be a voice, then, like, you know, this is going to be what I'm going to do.
That's amazing.
And you said that, like, by helping people... obviously people sending you amazing like messages and stuff like that. Are people sending you videos and have you FaceTime any like people or
what's that? I mean, like I get like emails and so many different stories of how people have come to terms, not with only being transgender, but like their sexuality as well within the community.
Mm-hmm.
And just like hearing all these different walks of lives, it's like, it inspires me to continue to like talk about not only my experiences, but share what other people are going through as well, and try and incorporate that in like an artsy, creative way in my videos. But like there was one moment actually in the first VidCon when I was a featured creator, was someone's mother came up to me and was like in tears and was just like, like thanking me for just providing information that she couldn't reach, like to have her understand like gender dysphoria in a whole nother light and actually understand what her son was going through. She was just in awe. So I hold that like close to me today. I can never really explain what that feels to somebody, like have someone else's like mother like cry and like just thank you for providing something so like dear to her. Which is just like, it's crazy. And I just like kind of think that's the reason why I do things. And then I got to meet her son as well, a few days later. I think it was the last day of VidCon, and like he was just so sweet. And and it was just one of those things that like I assumed that it was mostly like maybe trans girls watching my videos, because like that's an experience that they could kind of relate to. But the fact is just like all trans people can relate to the same kind of feelings, like obviously it's opposite, but it was just that in itself. And then also people who are not even within the LGBTQI plus community just like having like thanking me for the knowledge and giving them an understanding on how to treat their friends, their family, and just give another insight to the way that these people are feeling, which, because they never had that before, they're just having these quick little stories or these negative kind of looks on a transgender's like transition. So yeah, it was kind of like, I didn't realize it was having that much of an effect on people. So there was no doubt that I felt like I need to like delve in a little bit more and like share a bit more of like what it's like and different ways to convey like gender dysphoria and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
Can I ask that, you know, obviously from what we're hearing, you're somewhat of a role model to this younger generation, or just people a little bit younger than you, maybe even older. But was there someone that you looked up to or maybe helped you along your journey?
So there was actually a moment when I was in high school, I was like really struggling to pay attention in school, and like I was really falling back, and I stopped like doing things that wasn't necessarily things like I stopped doing things that weren't like me. So like my English teacher at the time like just slipped a little news article of Kim Petras, who is like an amazing pop singer right now. Yeah, she's just so amazing, and actually got to meet her this year in March at Mardi Gras. I was just like,
jealous,
literally in tears. I just got to thank her for like, she actually changed my life. Like her story like made me realize it was possible for like people like me to go through like sexual reassignment surgery, and that was actually an option. I never knew that that was a thing. But my English teacher just showed me that, and I read it, I took it home, and it was just about because she was the youngest trans woman to receive sexual reassignment surgery at the age of 16. And at the time I was like 17, so I was like, holy crap, like this is an option. This is actually something that's like, whether it's not an option here, I didn't know if it was available in Australia, but I was just like, at least I knew, and it gave me hope. So that from that point onwards, I knew like I needed to transition. And at the time you had to go to like family court in order to start hormone replacement therapy under the age of 18. So like that thought was a bit scary. So I kind of was just like, I can wait out until I'm 18. Like it's not that much of a big deal. But like, thankfully that's not really an option anymore, that that law was lifted a year or so ago.
Yes, Victoria.
So that's amazing. Kim Petras, I can't believe, like, you don't really think that you get a moment to tell people that have helped you. I can kind of like see when people say that to me, or I get a moment with them, I'm like,
I was about to make that comparison. You speaking to her when you met her at Mardi Gras is what those people at VidCon are doing with you. Absolutely. Doesn't that blow your mind?
Like, yeah, it's crazy. It's like passing on like the totem pole of like of this hidden respect or just like understanding. Like same kind of way with like how like I documented like my sexual reassignment surgery and how I put that video online. Like I had a few trans girls reach out in Melbourne saying that they're going through with the surgery as well. And then like they would like they'd tell me the date that they're going in, all that kind of stuff like that, and I'd like go and visit them in the hospital. And they just really appreciated that little, like the fact that there's a video like that, and it's like one of the most detailed experiences of something like that.
Yeah.
And like that in itself was like so much for them. But yeah, I think it's just like, it's one of those things that like it doesn't need to be like hidden and like chucked under the rug. Like we need to be able to express these things like openly, and like trans people shouldn't have to be like feel afraid to like open up and talk about how they feel, because I feel like that's where it's like at fault, like the fact of trans people have taught to like be like it's okay, like I have to deal with this alone, when like you don't, like
yeah, that's the powerful, like the internet, obviously it's so good and so bad in many ways, but I reckon that's one of the big perks of it, like absolutely. It just brings such small groups together and to be a big powerful group, and I love that for everyone.
Wholesome so content right there.
Yeah. Now, Megan, yes. Bit different, mm-hmm. but also very niche. I gotta say, the ratio of bisexual YouTubers is very, like, alarmingly small.
It's tiny. Yeah.
I know, like, gay people have, like, taken over YouTube almost. But when you think of bi, it's like, oh, and you're trying to count them on one hand.
Yeah, and you
can't.
Probably can. There's probably like only five. Yeah, what?
And then I think it links back to like society values and stuff, and how we kind of demonize bisexuality and even the internalized like phobia within the LGBT.
Yeah. It's bad.
Why do you think it's 2019? Why are we like, I feel like it can't be an issue anymore. Why do we think it still is?
I honestly don't know. I don't know why it's so bad, like in the community as well.
Mm.
I personally haven't experienced it, but I've had people come to me and like message me and stuff and say that they're struggling with that, and having people say that, or parents that don't see it. They don't view it as an actual sexuality. They're like, oh, you're confused, or like it's a phase, like it's not a real thing. And it is. And yeah, I think dismissing that hurts people a lot, and I get it. I just don't, even maybe people outside of the community, like it's not fair, but within, I just don't, like everyone's gone through their own struggles. I don't understand why exists.
And so like even saying things that it's like, oh, it's a phase and all that, everyone in the community knows those words and knows how harmful they are.
Yeah.
So why is this, why is it a thing?
It's honestly, I don't know.
If we had to say something to those people, off the top of our heads, what would we say? I'm looking at everyone right now. What would you?
The biggest thing I would say is like when people say, oh, how do you know? Like people, because you obviously don't have to experience things with other people to know that you're bi. You can know that without anything. You can just know wholeheartedly your sexuality. Like when people say, well, how do you know? And then it's like if a straight person has never had a boy, like if a straight cisgendered female has never had a boyfriend, how does she know that she's straight if she's never had a boyfriend? That's sort of the argument that I always put forward, because it's simple. It's like, okay, well, if it's a phase for me, why isn't it a phase for you? Like,
I mean, B is the third letter in LGB. Yada, yada, yada. Like, it's a big letter. It's there.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. Cancel culture. It's a big deal. It's I feel like it spiked within the last year. Everyone loves, they thrill, they get the popcorn, they're ready for it, especially YouTube is the prime source of this. Yeah. What are our thoughts on cancel culture?
Scary.
Mm. Yeah, like I feel like there's like this, it just came out of nowhere and people kind of started it off as like a joke, but then like I don't think people realize how harmful it is.
Yeah.
But like I can see the internet kind of like changing it now, like there's this thing going around like recycle culture, like people are gonna put them in the recycle bin, like we're not gonna deal with them right now, but like we'll have them come back a bit later, like they've done something bad, but like we're not gonna fully cancel them.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of using something in a positive kind of way.
Yeah.
But I feel like, but like when you look at it, everyone that people have like canceled online have kind of come back, and like
James Charles regained all of those followers he lost. He's back up there now. There like
exactly. Yeah. Like there's always like Melanie Martinez, like she just came back with her new music, but she was supposedly cancelled. Yeah. Like so it's like
Tanner after the Tanner con debacle. She's back up and living fully. Yeah. So
exactly.
And I think the hardest part about cancel culture is like every single person on YouTube is just a human like anyone else. Like, no one's perfect. People are going to make mistakes. And even if some of them aren't fully, like, some of them are awful, it's kind of like, well, everyone's made mistakes before. And it's kind of hard that just because you're on a platform, and if you say the wrong thing or if you do something that, that maybe you shouldn't have done, you can do one thing and then be fully cancelled. And it's kind of harsh, I guess. But I think that's just part of being online.
Yeah. AJ, Megan, it has been a pleasure. We are so excited to see you at VidCon at the end of this week. Or it was at VidCon 2019, if you're listening to this in the future. They've got YouTube channels, heaps of subscribers. Go check them out. Very, very exciting. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.